I'm a little nervous watching the images on CNN and on Fox News at our studio right now of another war in the Middle East, and I'm worried that Donald Trump is going to want to get involved in a fight. It's Jason. Welcome to Drive Time. It's Friday. We've got Card D Sharks coming up at 4 o'clock. Lots of fun ahead on the show. But it's hard not for somebody my age to feel like we're going back to the old Persian Gulf War days. Watching CNN, watching missiles launching through the air. But this time it's Israel and Iran. And Americans obviously have a lot of feelings about Israel. We've seen this be one of the major issues in the Democratic Party here in the United States, right? Are we on Israel's side or are we on Palestine's side? I don't think anyone is really on Iran's side when it comes to the nuclear capabilities of Iran, when it comes to the stability of the Middle East, when it comes to Iran. But the reality is, here in the United States, like, most of us have enough problems in our own life that we're not really worried or thinking about Iran or Israel or the Middle East or anything. But here we are with cable news being taken over with these images of war. And I'm looking at CNN right now where we're seeing like a blasted out apartment building, Iran retaliating. And as Dan and I were sitting around talking about, like, all right, how do we, like, you know, how are we feeling? What are we thinking about this? I sort of wondered where you're at. Because my number one concern is that Donald Trump likes using the military. And if there is a fight and an opportunity to show that we are the greatest country in the world, you sort of feel like, are we going to get involved in this thing? And should we? 651-461-9226 is how you can get a hold of us. You can always send us a voice message if you're listening on the Odyssey app. In the immediate moments of this sort of an attack, you never know who to believe, right? Iran is saying, look out, Israel. You know, we've sent 100 missiles and you face it. The quote is a dark night ahead. Israel is saying, and it is sort of remarkable looking at some of the damages and the number of missiles that have come, that Israel is now saying 17 people were injured in these attacks. I don't know, like, for me, it's hard to get into that nitty-gritty about the details of all of this, but the images are scary, right? We're in a world that's very volatile. We're in a country that's very volatile right now. We have images coming out of California of protests. Tomorrow will be a national day of protests. We have a number of protests that are planned not only for St. Paul, but in different suburbs and in different cities all around Minnesota. And I just feel like the last thing that I want to see happen is the United States get sort of suckered into taking part in a war in the Middle East. Trying to figure out what Donald Trump will do in this is very interesting, right? Because at the same time that this escalation is happening, and what certainly feels like, you know, whenever you're dealing with Israel, you feel like, all right, we've seen how they respond to an attack in Palestine. They responded at first with a ton of force and then with like a megaton of force, where you're like, okay, guys, like, we get it. So with this, you look at Iran and you think, like, all right, here's a country that is not going to be reasonable. And you look at, so you look at the Ayatollah and then you look at Benjamin Netanyahu and you think, I don't know, is Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu, for me, at least stylistically, have some things in common. So it makes me nervous. It makes me nervous. Texter says these endless wars have got to stop. I'm not super optimistic about that over the coming years. Are you? I mean, the era of the superpower being able to put down their foot and negotiate peace or negotiate a truce or any of that, I don't know. Like, it just takes one country with a huge amount of weapons to say, like, we don't really care what the United States wants. We don't really care what Russia wants or what China wants. We're going to do what we want. Iran is saying they've shot down two Israeli jets. Israel is saying Iran will pay a heavy price, a very heavy price for firing on population centers. I mean, I think we're in for a weekend of this, right? And in Tel Aviv, Israel right now, it's a little after 11 o'clock at night. And this has been going on, you know, over the last 12 hours or so. But I'm nervous about it. And there are things about President Trump that when you look at the conversation about the military, you say, here's a guy who says he wants to be very strong military. We're going to have a massive parade showing America's military might tomorrow. I mean, the timing of all of this stuff, perhaps is what makes me most nervous about all of it. That you've got California lighting up. You've got a military parade in Washington, D.C. that's going to look like something out of a movie. At the one hand, it's going to be amazing to celebrate the incredible history of the United States Army. On the other, watching Iran and Israel bomb the living crap out of each other. I don't think it's unreasonable for me to be worried about the fact that, like, we're going to just send these troops right from the big D.C. parade and ship them out. It's a little overwhelming. Lots of texts coming in. Jason, when somebody says they want to wipe you off the face of the earth, you need to take them seriously, especially since it's already been tried once before. Yeah. Jason, you and I have kids who are college bound, but my friend's son has been in the Army for 9 months. He was put on 24/7 deployment standby yesterday. This is all hard to deal with. That's, you know, and that's part of what I've been thinking about as we've been watching Iran strike, Israel strike, Iran retaliating. For me, I was thinking about those five young men who stood up at the Maple Grove High School graduation with my son last week, and those five young men who are going off to serve in the military. And another good friend of mine who was a producer at Channel 4, now she's at Channel 11, her son has enlisted. And I'm so impressed. I'm so impressed with any young woman or young man who steps up and says, I want to serve my country. And the last thing I want to see is those young men and women sent out to deal with this. Lots of texts coming in. I'll share some of your texts when we come back, because I think we're all like, look, none of us are, well, maybe there's a Middle East expert. None of us are experts in Iran, right? Like, I'm not going to come on this show and be like, well, let me lay out the 3-point reason why Benjamin Netanyahu is right in doing it. I don't know. All I know is it is a time of volatility in our community, in our country, in our world. And seeing this, I don't know. It's not what I needed. Not to make it all about me. But isn't that sort of how you feel when you watch this going on? 651-461-9226. Your comments, lots coming in on text. Also in the live stream, you can weigh in on X, on Facebook, on YouTube at the WCCO radio account. Drive Time on a Friday, back in a minute. Lots of reaction coming in as we watch these strikes politically, President Donald Trump has praised Israel. We've seen Democrats and Republicans supporting Israel's right to defend itself and supporting Israel's right for going after the fact that Iran still has nuclear weapons. This all, it all really reminds, I don't know, for me, this is like such a flashback, Dan, to being in elementary school when we were all talking about mutually assured destruction, nuclear strategy. It was Gorbachev, Reagan.
Yeah.
And these issues are still the same over who should be allowed to have nuclear weapons. What's different is Benjamin Netanyahu, of course, has shown that he is not one to back down from a fight.
Well, and one to, you know, pick fights.
And pick fights.
Because, you know, remember, he's got court cases hanging over his head.
That's right.
And as long as he's fighting wars, then they're not going to take him out of power. And as long as he's in power, he can't be prosecuted by the court. So there's sort of this circular logic going on in Israeli politics. Yeah, does Israel have the right to defend itself?
Of course.
Absolutely, it
Absolutely.
Does. And Iran has said flat out, if we get nukes, you know, we're launching them at Israel. I mean, that's their first target.
Right, right.
So, and yet, do I have a whole lot of trust for the current regime that's running the country of Israel? No. So I don't know what, I'm kind of with you. It's sort of this weird, I don't know what to make of this, and that makes it even a little more frightening.
Yeah, I mean, it's very overwhelming to try to figure out, like, all right, like, why did they do this now? Like, the conspiratorial among you are saying, this is no coincidence, says a texter. It's all cold, calculated, and funded. You know, I mean, it does. It's possible that Israel was just, when they were ready, they were ready. And they fired, their initial strikes were at all of these nuclear sites that have been hidden in mountains, you know, some of this other stuff in Iran. So they've hit, I don't know, 200 some targets trying to dismantle Iran's ability to make nuclear weapons. I just worry that we'll get sucked into it. And already the United States has said, yep, we were involved in some of the missile defense efforts, striking down some of the Iranian missiles that were shot at Israel. And we have troops in that area already.
The administration said, tried to make it very, very clear that they were not involved in the attack on Iran. But as Iran launched missiles back towards Israel, the United States apparently helped in the defense of that, which, like you said, we've got people over there, and that makes a certain amount of sense. But it does, in a sense, it opens the door to drawing you into this conflict, because obviously Israel's an ally. And so if this gets too bad, are we duty bound to go over there and help them? I don't know, but that's the fear.
It is the fear. And I think, you know, in fairness to Donald Trump, where we've seen like a willingness to engage the military, right? An almost, well, frankly, an unprecedented willingness to call out American troops to California when nobody in California wanted them. The governor, the mayor, the police chief. And the Trump administration has been very outspoken in saying, like, look, we're not waiting for another George Floyd riot situation. If something happens, we're sending troops in. We're not. That's what we're doing.
They've also been fairly outspoken over time about not getting involved in foreign wars and activities.
That's exactly where I was going.
Yeah.
That they, even as recent as this past week, we learned that American troops that were stationed in the Middle East were sort of being repositioned and moved out. Now, does this change with something so high profile? I don't know. I do think if you look at what Donald Trump's main ethos is, it is, I don't want to get involved in the rest of the world. So perhaps that should make me feel a little better that we're not going to get sucked into this thing.
And he also immediately, his initial statement after the initial Israeli attack was to try and leverage it to get Iran to agree to a nuclear deal. See, this is, you got to be art of the deal here. We got to make
always,
a deal.
Right.
Because if you don't, you know, this is going to keep happening. And, I don't see Iran coming to the table anytime soon after this. But
how do you think this affects what's going to happen tomorrow? How does this play into the fact that around the country there's going to be protests. I was going to ask you guys what you think about it being called No King's Day. Because generally speaking, I think American voters have rejected this idea that, you know, when you call Donald Trump a fascist or when you call Donald Trump a king, that generally speaking, Americans have said like, eh, you guys are being a little over the top. And so No King's Day, I just wonder, you know, obviously the Trump haters love it. The Trump lovers hate it. I wonder what sort of the kind of people who maybe would have voted for a Democrat who voted for Trump this time around, some of those swing voters that turned things around. I wonder how this plays for regular people or the non-super involved, right? And we'll talk coming up at 5 o'clock. We're going to talk a little bit about what the non-super involved people think about the protests that mm-hmm. we've seen and the military response. And it's sort of different from people like you and, frankly, people who are listening to the show who are probably a little more engaged than most. I don't know what people think about it. Calling Trump a king, part of me looks at the way the presidency has been reshaped and says the issue is that Congress doesn't do crap.
Right.
So is that... I mean, Joe Biden had a ton of executive orders and overstepped his bounds and was overruled by court. Now, Donald Trump, of course, took it to a next Trumpy level. But is that... Well, and then also, I have a theory that Americans love the idea of being ruled by a king.
Hmm.
That there's something... that, and I don't need... mean to exactly make this into like a parallel of like having daddy issues... But there's sort of like a pre-colonial England-related daddy issues that we have as a nation.
Well, you just talked about all the chaos and the unrest in the world and in the country, right? And what's a very natural human reaction to that kind of uncertainty and chaos and confusion? Look to somebody who projects strength to come fix it all.
Yeah.
That kind of strongman argument. And
I don't love it, but I'm just saying I observe
it,
right? And I understand it, that times are chaotic. And so then you look at some of the actions of this administration where they seem to create chaos so they can be the ones to solve it. Classic. I worked with a guy like that. His name was Arthur. We've all worked with somebody like that, right? They're always there to solve the problem, but oh wait, don't they also seem to be the one that created the problem? How about that? Let's break. It's 3:31. It is Friday. We're going to have some fun. Dan is prepared to geek out. This is your chance to vote on something very nerdy that Dan Cook has gotten excited about. Dan is going to geek out, and you will vote. Do I give it the green light or the gong? I'll get you ready. The number to call in is 651-461-9226, or you can comment in any of the comment sections where our video is streaming live here on Drive Time. All right, here we go. The premise is that Dan Cook is a nerd. And
proudly so.
Yes, why not?
Embrace it.
There is a topic that you find fascinating that you don't know if we will find fascinating. And so it's up to the listeners.
Yep.
Do you give it the green light? The green light, which sounds much like this, or do you give it the gong? The gong, which... So that's your choice. Green light or gong. Dan will get 3 minutes.
We got a timer this week, so I'm really on... I mean,
you're on the clock.
I'm on the clock here. So.
You can leave your comment on Facebook, on YouTube, or on X. Or text us at 651-461-9226. Here you go. Dan Cook, your time starts now.
Jason, it was announced yesterday. We're getting a sequel to the movie Spaceballs. Yes, 38 years ago, sci-fi was set on its head by the parody of all parodies, Spaceballs. And now, 38 years later, we're finally getting a sequel. Now, I'll admit, when I first heard this news... that noisy in a hurry. When I first heard this news,
Yeah.
I was a little suspicious, right?
Sure.
Because it was a fun movie. There's nostalgia to it.
It was a terrible
movie. Kind of a cult classic at this point. Why can't we just leave good things alone?
It's
kind of what I'm worried about.
So bad.
And then I thought more about it, and I thought, especially if you watched the announcement video, it was so good. It was so good. Because they list all of the Star Wars and all the other sci-fi stuff that have happened in the past 38 years, and just the sheer ridiculousness of it, right? The prequel trilogy, the sequel trilogy, the sequel to the prequel to the sequel, movie spinoff of a TV series that was both a sequel and a prequel. There was Dune movies and Jurassic Park movies, all these. So they have all of this material to work with and parody in this movie. And Mel Brooks is a certified comedic genius, right? Now, he didn't write this script. He's not as directly involved with this movie as he was with the first film. He is going to be in the movie. Yogurt is coming back.
Green light or gong. We're about a minute and a half in. 651-461-9226.
Bill Pullman, who played Lone Star, is back. Rick Moranis, who hasn't been in a movie in I don't know how long, is back as Dark Helmet. They've got another actress that they've announced, but they won't say what. It's very, very hush-hush as to what kind of character she's playing. Wasn't in the original film. All kinds of stuff. All kinds of stuff that make you think, actually, this could be pretty good.
This could be
the best parody movie of all time.
Oh, my God. No.
That's what I'm expecting. That's the bar I'm setting.
No way.
This could be.
No way. Here come the appropriate reactions.
Come on.
Gone.
It was hilarious. Now, obviously, we've lost John Candy. He's not going to be around, and he was an integral part of that movie. May God rest his soul. Dick Van Patten, who wasn't as integral to the movie, has left us. So there's some, big characters that aren't going to be there. But the fact that Mel Brooks shows up in this video with Spaceballs, the sweatshirt on.
We got four gongs, three green lights so far, one green light on social media. You're still in this thing.
So
inexplicably.
If you recall in the first film, there's a line about, hopefully we all meet again in Spaceballs 2, the search for more cash.
Yeah.
Because they were making fun of the way that these things have been commercialized. I will be very disappointed if they don't actually title this movie Spaceballs 2, The Search for More Cash. I mean, it's sitting right there. Why wouldn't you do it?
Gone.
What's the matter? Come on now, people. This was a classic.
Stop, please, says one of the texts.
It was a great film, and I'm looking forward to it, and my 3 minutes are up.
Well, there it is. Green light or gong, and the gongs have it. And I didn't even get to vote. And the gongs.
You'd have gonged the heck out of that one.
I get multiple votes.
Yes, you do.
Because it's my show. I thought the original Spaceballs. Now, you have to bear in mind that at this phase of my life, I didn't have much patience for dumb humor. I was a very serious lad.
Yeah, you really do have to appreciate dumb jokes.
May
dumb
the Schwartz
humor.
Be with you.
Right.
Was that not?
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
It wasn't the Force, it was the Schwartz. And it was rings, not lightsabers. It was so good. It was so good. Rick Moranis was phenomenal in that movie. He was so funny.
The texters say no.
I'm excited. So 2027 is the scheduled release date for the movie. I'm very excited. Very happy.
Are you going to go see this movie?
1,000%.
Really?
I mean, I'm probably not opening night Friday kind of, but I'll go see it. 100%. I will go.
Well, you're not going to go on opening night, but you're going to try to convince our listeners that this is going to be the greatest sequel of all time.
I never go on opening night to a movie. It's too many people. Can't do it.
Is there a sequel out there? Like a movie that never had a sequel, where you would say, it is perfect as is. Do not ever make a sequel.
Titanic.
Yeah, I mean, the sequel to Titanic.
We just actually saw it a couple of years ago. Yeah, didn't go well.
That was not a hit. What I'm trying to think if there has been a movie where they were like, we're done. We're not, what I'm trying to say here? An unsequeled classic.
Honestly, Good Will Hunting. Great movie, great cast. It was set up where they could have done a sequel if they wanted to, and they just didn't. They just said, no, that was a good movie. We're just going to leave it like it is.
That's a good answer.
Thank you.
I'm looking this up quickly. The Simpsons movie never had a sequel.
Benjamin on YouTube says, dude, where's my car?
Yeah, we're like, that's probably correct. Annie Hall, Citizen Kane. Now, could you imagine Citizen Kane 2? Now, by your metric, yeah, there should be no Spaceballs 2 because Spaceballs itself was so good.
Well, and that's what I said. My initial reaction was, oh, no, can't we just leave it alone?
Princess Bride? Yeah. E.T.? There is never an E.T.? Texter asking, Jason, didn't you like Dumb and Dumber? No.
I love Dumb and Dumber.
Too dumb.
But I didn't like Dumb and Dumber 2. That's the thing. If you know, a lot of these where there's gaps, right? There was a big gap in between those two movies. Coming to America 2 kind of stunk, but the original was hilarious. When you have these huge gaps between movies, your hope is, hey, we finally found a story that's good enough to come back and do the sequel. The fear is somebody go, you know what? We need some money. Where can we go and try to find some money? Oh, we'll go, you know, filch the people that love this original movie and just do something stupid that doesn't matter, but they'll come see it.
Schindler's List.
No, I mean,
no
not,
sequel.
Not really a
no
sequel.
Sequel
type movie.
Bad.
But, you know.
Pulp Fiction.
Also difficult.
Pretty much ended in a.
You know.
I don't want to spoil it. No spoilers.
I think we're beyond the statute of limitations on that.
Yeah. Was there a Ferris Bueller's sequel?
I don't think so.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off 2. No.
Was it really?
No.
Okay. I was going to say, if there was, it was so bad that nobody remembers it.
There is a spinoff in the works, I read. There is a spinoff that they were working on in 2024 called Sam and Victor's Day Off, who are the parking garage attendants who took the Ferrari for a joy.
Oof. Can't imagine why that didn't get greenlit.
Yeah. They picked a director.
Yeah, okay.
But as far as I can tell, Hunt for Red October, no sequel, true. Breakfast Club?
No, but there technically was a sequel to Hunt for Red October. Clear and Present Danger was in Tom Clancy's storyline. That was a sequel to Hunt for Red October.
So, Patriot Games also was part of the series.
Patriot Games was in there, yep.
Yeah, I guess that counts. Breakfast Club, though, no.
No, yeah, no, nothing there.
Schindler's List doesn't need a sequel, says the text.
Well, I think that's kind of what was implied.
That's the joke. Yeah. We can't make shit. What is wrong with this world? I thought woke was dead. I thought we were allowed to make Schindler's List. It's a Schindler's List movie sequel joke. Yeah. That's all.
That's the joke.
It's fine.
It's fine.
Oh, very good. Oh, someone comes in late with a green light for
you. There you
go. Too late, you know.
No.
Doesn't count.
How close? Was it at least close?
It was pretty close.
All right, but I did get gonged on this one. Well, Brad will be happy.
Our boss really wants... Do you think he likes the sound effects? Do you think we could get a budget to get, like, an actual gong?
Nope.
Where I could be, like...
You can just stop after budget. Do you think we could get a budget?
We used to have a timpani at this station, didn't we?
No, we didn't have it at the station. One of the former Brain Wizards owned one and brought it in. But it was his. It wasn't the station's.
People are so weird. So weird. That was Dan Cook Geeks Out. I enjoyed it. Nice work.
Spaceballs, the sequel, folks.
We'll be back next Friday with... This may be the permanent... We may just dump... Three disasters and a puppy for this.
You might.
In a moment, I have a story of three pizzas and a goat, which is similar to three disasters and a puppy, except not at all. We'll talk about my trip to Sherburn County, Minnesota, and the pizza farm in just a minute. Took a drive last night out to a pizza farm. So you may have heard of this. This is a bit of a trend that has been popping up over the last couple of years. Farmers or people who have like a hobby farm that has become an event center or a wedding space or whatever. There's a place in Princeton called the Alpha and Omega Farm, and they invited me out to try the pizza and experience the pizza farm. So Dan was nice enough to put up with me doing the show yesterday from the basement closet. And it, first of all, let me tell you, Dan, when is the last time you have been? Now, you were camping, so you're in greater Minnesota.
Yes.
But when we were driving up 169,
mm-hmm.
the humor of the billboard sort of changes as you get out of the immediate metro.
Yes, that's very much true.
Like, it's a lot of contractors making sort of like sex jokes.
Yep.
Get nailed with, you know, this sort of stuff. And I'm like, oh, man, like, there's
okay.
Like, that's bold. That is bold. So we drive up to the farm, and it was awesome. It was so good. The pizzas were phenomenal. The people who own the farm, Kim and Brad Hayes. Kim, like, spent 30 years working for Dayton's and Marshall Fields and was in food. So, like, she helped a bunch of celebrity chefs open, like, little restaurants. And that. So, I mean, she's culinary. Brad was firing the pizzas. It was really cool. But they asked me if I wanted to feed a goat, because they have a bunch of goats out there.
I mean, why wouldn't you?
So if you're watching on the stream at YouTube right now, WCCO Radio, you can see a picture of me feeding a goat with a bottle. And this goat was so damn excited. And, you know, the goat's name was Maple.
Uh-huh.
And she was satisfied.
She was enthusiastic.
She was very enthusiastic. They had hand sanitizer nearby, so we were good to go. So I could get back to eat the pizza. And, you know, maybe the goat needed a hand sanitizer after the experience. Everybody needed a smoke, I think.